could I take you back? We talked a fair amount about, you know, you're playing for Gloucester, but apart from, we talked about the Kent semi-final for the county. Can we go back to your playing for the county? Because 36-37 in particular was clearly a wonderful season for the county, winning the county championship.
Yeah.
What memories do you have of playing for the county? Did you find it a different class of rugby to playing for the club?
Well, I'm speaking out of the top of my head now, but I didn't really enjoy it so much because obviously, you know, it was a case of turning out and playing with chaps you've never played with before, really. You didn't meet for training or anything in those days. You turned up in time to play. That's right, Bill, isn't it? You didn't have any training with the rest of the team.
With the county, no. So, no, nothing. Nothing.
So they tended to be more scrappy sort of games, I think.
Most county sides came from Gloucester and Bristol.
Yes.
The majority of the players. You may get an odd one coming in from another side in the county, but most generally speaking, the 15 was drawn from Gloucester and Bristol.
Yes.
Who in club rugby was at loggerheads, and yet they came together in the county.
Yes.
So you knew them, but you knew them through being at loggerheads with them the week before.
But it seemed to work.
It worked.
Then it was half of Bristol playing for Gloucester and the other half playing for Somerset, which complicated it even
absolutely.
More, didn't it?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I think that season when you won the county championship, you beat East Midlands in the final 5-0.
Yes.
Do you have any memories of that match?
Not much, really. No, I haven't. No, to be honest, I haven't, very, very little. I do just remember, you know, being down there, and I think isn't it odd, really? But I was going to say about the only thing I remember was that after the game we were sitting at a meal and we were passing around our program, I suppose. For signatures, and when I came away, I realised I'd lent my revolving pencil to somebody, and I came away without it, and it was a presentation one from previous years, and so I was very distressed about that, and somehow or other I found out it was with Graham Parker, and I remember driving out to see him somewhere near the Forest of Dean, I think. Didn't he live somewhere there?
Yeah, some Brerrells.
Yes, I rang him up, or he rang me up to see he'd got this, and I said, oh, I'll come and collect it. And he said, oh, no, I'll be in Gloucester next week, don't bother to come. And I said, oh, well, no, I'm still exploring the country. I'd like to sort of, you know, have the drive in the country. And I remember going out and collecting it from him. That pencil was a very important thing for me.
That's your memory of the final at Bristol, yeah?
I actually saw the final at Bristol.
Did you?
I was in the crowd there, yeah.
And what are your memories of it, though?
My memories is Gloucestershire scored a very good try right in the corner and Parker kicking the goal off the touchline to make it 5-0 against a very strong side. Yeah. A very strong side. I remember Robin Prescott, who later became Secretary of the English Rugby Union, was in the pack for them. They had a very, very strong side. Yeah. I guess on paper that they were expected to win. But playing Gloucestershire at Gloucester or at Bristol was a quite different story to playing Gloucestershire at Twickenham. Quite a different story.
Looking back at the players in the 1930s, you mentioned John Abear. He seems to have been quite a character.
Yes.
Can you tell us about him?
Well, no, I can't really. I mean, I do just remember him very well as a person, and he was one of a. I remember particularly seemed to be characteristic of the scrum that of the forwards that we had in those days when. It was down at Blackheath, actually, and I believe Graham Parker was playing fullback for Blackheath that day, and we were quite a number of points down at half-time, and the snow was falling, and it was pretty muddy ground, I think, and then somehow or other the Gloucester pack got absolutely aroused in the second half, and they were... There were a succession of forward rushes, almost like the group of elephants charging down, really. And we won the game by, 3 points or something. That was a memorable time.
I noticed you nodding about John O'Vear, Bill. Do you have anything else to pitch in?
Well, he had a very large shop in Gloucester, very large shop, on the corner of Pitt Street where you turn in. I think it's a bank, I believe, now, or something, is it? I'm not quite sure. But it was a huge, huge shop John had there. And he was like typical of the Gloucester side in those days. They were all in the town. You saw them every day. They didn't come from 100 miles away, and you only saw them on Saturdays, as it were, the crowd. They would be stopped in the town and told... Oh, you're a shocking lot on Saturday. They didn't need to read the paper to know how bad they were. They got told, or how good they were on Saturday.
Yeah.
The one season that Bill's mentioned that was a very fine season, I think it was 36-37, I'm not That's quite right. sure, but that was the year in which they beat the four Welsh sides who they used to play in those days. And that was some season, in the sense that... they went to Llanelli, Bill was there playing, and Llanelli were going to stop them because no Gloucester side had ever won against the four big ones in Wales. Because you've got to remember, when you played Newport at Newport, you had a Newport referee. He only lived 100 yards from the ground, or Swansea was the same. If he came from 3 miles away, that was a long way.
Yeah.
And you had to battle against this in Wales in those days, which was something to do. But they went to Llanelli with quite a few supporters going down for those days, because this was the last game, and Llanelli, it had been said, they weren't going to win. They were just not going to win to create this, what was then a record. But they did. And the ladies were hitting them on the head with umbrellas when they came off everything. I mean, it was, oh dear, oh dear. But they had no option about losing. The Gloucester side were the better side and deserved to win well as they did.
Yeah.
But I think they were just as glad to get off the field against the crowd as they were against the team they were playing.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember it, and I do remember it.
John O'Bear was paired with Digger Morris.
Digger, he played with Digger most of his time.
Tell us about Digger. Row.
Some second row, because everybody remembers Digger.
Yeah.
But John, who... passed away, John became a member of the committee afterwards for a few years, but John passed away. He lived near us in Elmbridge Road, and I used to have a walk over the field. He'd have his dog and I had mine in those days, and we used to have a chat over the fields, me and John. Very, very good forward, John.
Mm.
Very, very good forward indeed.
Mm.
We've heard they were at the heart of the social side of the club as well. Is that the way you remember it?
Well, you see, I, as I said earlier, really, I knew nothing of all that because I was, I couldn't as a member of the staff at Dinko School.
Not so, even on the way back from Llanelli?
Oh.
You must have had cause to celebrate.
My mind's a blank about that. It's just that, my mind,
I wonder why that is, Bill.
Well, not for the reason that you may be implying, but I don't think anyway.
I know quite a crowd of people met the train when it came back in to Gloucester Railway Station that Saturday night.
Yeah.
We're up the station to meet them, and they were cheered off the station, the Gloucester side, that were on the train.
Mm.
One other player I'd like to mention is Peter Hawden.
Oh, yes.
What do you remember of Peter?
Well, I just remember playing with him. He's got some... Did he have a brother or a close relation who was a well-known actor?
I think you're right, yes. I think you are right.
It wasn't Peter himself, was it? He wasn't.
No.
But I think I played one or two games with him, and I particularly remember him and the name Hawden because there was a relation of his who was at college with me. I didn't know him well either, but the name stuck in my mind. And
Michael Hawden.
Yeah. Hmm?
That would be Michael Hawden then.
Michael, was
yes.
it?
Yes. Yes. Sir Michael Hawden, in fact, wasn't he?
Yes, he was knighted, yeah.
Yes.
Do you remember Peter Hawden, Bill?
Yes, I remember Peter playing, watched him play many times. A very good forward, wing forward. Again, quite a big chap. Could have fitted in the second row. He was a sort of a... I don't think he ever played there. Not I never saw him play there, but of the physique that would have made a second row.
He did prop on occasion, too.
Did he?
Yes. I think he played in all three rows.
Well, there you are, you see. That's confirmed what I'm saying.
Peter Hawden went on tour to Argentina as well with what would now be called the British Lions, the British Isles side, yeah. He seems to have got a reputation on that tour as being a joker. Did he show that at Gloucester?
Well, I didn't actually play with him, you see. He's before my time, but right. As a youngster, I was in the crowd in a lot of these games that I'm talking about, so I don't really know Peter off the field. Other than Bill, there won't be anybody alive who was on the field with him.
Could I just ask... Bill, did you ever know a man called Tommy Bagwell?
I don't think so.
Ah, he was captain of Gloucester. In fact, he was the first working class captain of Gloucester and was captain of Gloucester when they first played at King's Home in 1891. But he stayed associated with the club, I know, for a long time as, initially as trainer and then as kit man.
No,
you remember him in that role?
I remember him very well. He was around there all the time I was there.
Ah.
All the time I was at the club, he was there. I'm not sure what position he played. Scrum half?
No, he was stand-off.
Stand-off?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, looking at his physique, he would be one or the other.
He was 5'1" and not a big man.
Oh, no, nothing. I mean, I know lots of our people, including Digger and company, who said, you could pick him up and run with him. That's the sort of physique he was, you know.
Yeah.
But obviously a very clever player.
Well, actually, we also read a report about him that he had a hand-off which was described as having an effect on the opposition, that having experienced it once, they tried to avoid it a second time.
Well, I can remember looking at him now when he was in the kit room there, and as you refer to that, I would second that, because he looked to me to have a very, now you mention it, a very large hand for a small man, which would be very useful as a handoff.
And do you remember a chap called Bill Bailey, who was the Citizen reporter?
WB.
Yes, WB, that's right. Tell us about WB. Because, of course, a lot of our source material on the older days of Gloucester Rugby comes from WB's
reporting. There is a source if you want information on the Gloucester Rugby Club. You want to get WB's reports for the time he reported on the club.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, we have a lot of his notebooks. He kept a notebook for each season, and fortunately, they were found under the old stand.
Yeah.
You know, when it was demolished a couple of years ago.
If the Citizen could find his reports in the paper, you would find them.
We've got them. They're in the Gloucestershire Archives.
Are they?
Yeah, they're really good.
Very, very
so good and so detailed.
He's the finest reporter on Gloucester rugby ever.
Ever had.
Yeah.
Ever had.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
He really was unique in that when you read his report, he was constructive as well as destructive about your play.
Yeah.